As I said last week, I don't know about you, but this is my favorite time of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas because it is about giving. And this that song we just finished playing, I don't know about you, again about you, but it definitely chokes me up when I hear it, just the fact that how much He loves us. With that being said, that is exactly what we are talking about today. It's the journey of love. You can turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Now, there's something a little bit different. We will get to that, I promise you, but it won't be until actually the third point, all right, on today. It will actually be at the end. 1 John chapter 4 is where we will be today. As you're turning there, I'm going to go up in prayer. Father God, we thank You again just for Your love. We thank You, Father God, for stepping out of heaven and embracing this world that You love so dearly. So, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we continue our series and continue our journey, Lord God, that You would help us to remember the season, Lord. The reason why we are who we are. The reason why we're followers of You. So, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we do this, Lord, that You would hide me behind that cross, Lord God, that they would only see You. And that may You be glorified in everything we do. These things I pray in Your name. Amen. So, welcome to the second Sunday of Advent. And as we began our Advent series last week, we talked a little bit about the word Advent, and which is a version of a Latin word meaning coming. Now, so we use these weeks leading up to Christmas as a chance to look forward, not only with great expectation to the coming of Christ, as we go through this journey of hope, love, joy, and peace. So we know that, just to recap, we know that over 2,000 years ago, a star appeared in the east as a beacon, as a guide to the newly arrived Messiah. We talked a little last week as well, about the biblical account of that star, and that it's only mentioned in Matthew, and of all the Gospels, it's only mentioned there, and then actually it plays a more central role in Christmas passages than it actually does in the Gospel account. But despite its brief biblical appearances, it was a star that led people to Jesus. Jesus that, as a star, leads us to Jesus this Advent season. So together we're going to continue to look for the light as we follow the star on this, what we call the journey of love. Now we know that the star signals the brightest love, right? That love that never gives up, the love that conquered death and sin, the love that surrounds us daily and it fills us eternally. Eternally. It's perfect love. It's God's love in the flesh. So as we continue our search this morning, I want to ask you just a few questions. And this is a little bit off topic, a little bit, but you'll get the point at the end. And I want to, this is church participation for a change. So I want to see you by a show of hands on some of these questions. And I have a pretty idea on this first one, but I want to say it anyway. How many of you can actually say you're finished with all your Christian shopping? Wow, I got one hand. I'm in shock because I thought no one would be able to raise their hand on that one. I'm sure he's probably not finished. That's probably because Jenny buys all the gifts and you're done with it. So, all right. Now, this one I probably will give a better response to. How many of you haven't even started yet? There we go. That's what I thought. A few more hands out there. Don't be shy at your hand. Don't be partially hand up. There's some of us that haven't started yet. You're not alone. Now, here's a question. How many of you would just like to skip the whole Christmas shopping thing and go straight to the Christmas dinner? There we go. Look at that. Pretty good. It's on that one almost. So wherever you stand on your Christmas gift shopping and giving, do you realize, now we're only talking about Americans, we're only talking about the United States, but Americans have spent a lot of money on Christmas. Retail sales, now remember, this is just America. Retail sales from November 2016 to January 2017 were projected to be $1 trillion. $1 trillion was spent just by Americans on Christmas. Now, while that number is mind-blowing, here's just another number for you. $60 billion. $60 billion, what does that have to do? What's that? That's how much money Americans spent on their pets last year. $60 billion. Which leads me to one question. Why? why are we spending $60 billion on our pets? And don't get me wrong, I don't mind dogs. You've heard stories, I've told you that the cats are the devil. You get all that, right? But I don't mind dogs. And we have a couple of turtles, we've had fish, we've had all that. But $60 billion? Think about this. Because animals, they really do cause us a lot of trouble. You want to know why? Because here's the thing: we walk them, we clean up after them, we comb their hair, we have to give them allergy pills. If anything, dogs should be giving us money. They should be paying us, shouldn't they? Because that's how it is. We're taking care of them. But we do it why? Because we love them. Seriously, we all get honestly about it. We might say bad things, we might get saved, but we really do love them. So we'll spend our hard-earned money and time caring for them. That's just how we are. And here's the thing. It's not because anything they've done for us. Nothing. But simply just because we love them. Now, understand, I admit this is not an exact comparison. And I don't want you leaving here thinking I'm telling you that God loves us like we love our dogs. All right? But the example does start with us down this path of recognizing some things about love. So I want to ask you on a more serious note some questions. Now, you do not have to participate. This is just rhetorical questions that I want you to think about. I want you to reflect on some of these questions. How do you perceive God's love for you? Let me repeat that. How do you perceive God's love for you? When you see God, and how do you perceive that He loves for you? Number two. Do you feel you need to earn it? Do you feel you need to earn God's love? Number three. Do you ever wonder if God's love is meant for you? Maybe someone else, but not me, because I'm not very lovable. Do you see the overflow of God's love in your own life toward others? Do you put forth this love to others? See, when we think about the greatest sacrifice of love, the greatest sacrifice ever given, what comes to mind is the cross, right? We see the cross that comes to mind, that the Son of God was nailed to a piece of wood. But I want to go back farther. I want to go back at the beginning. And there's a scripture. Not sure if I didn't give you this one, so you don't, it's not going to be on the board. But it says in John 1, first three verses plus 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." We're talking about Jesus. "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Philippians even says this, that who, talking about Jesus, "though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to grasp. But He emptied Himself." In other words, from His place with God, He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment here. He left a realm of all power, of all knowledge, all presence, for a world where He had to learn to walk as a little child. Right? And He had to learn how to talk. He was tempted like you and I. Right? He hungered where He had never hungered before. The Gospel of John said that He wept and felt anguish of heart in the deep emotions of the human spirit. See, God came into the world as Jesus Christ to rescue us from eternal death and to reconcile us to Himself in eternal life. And Jesus, who is all-powerful and is all-knowing, He came to earth in the flesh. Why would God do such a thing? Because as the word of God says, it was love. It was love the reason why. So this morning we're going to dive deep into the love of God as we explore the love that caused Him to enter our world through His Son that first Christmas. A love that was present from the creation of the world is enough for each and every one of us and is meant to overflow in our lives. So I want to share with you three things about God's love. And if you take notes, here's number one. The first one is love from the start. Love from the start. We know at Christmas time, we also talk about Christmas as a time is when love came down, right? We say God's love entered the world as a baby, and that's true. But we would be mistaken, we would be wrong if we didn't take a longer look, if we go back in time at the beginning of time, well, beginning of our world. You see, the history of our world, an account of the Bible, is a love account from the first day of creation. It is the account of God, God's love for His people, us, and His plan of redemption to bring us back into relationship with Him. That was His plan from the get-go. See, God is not some distant uncle who just suddenly shows up with a gift that no one knows what to do with. I don't know about you, but I've had my grandma love her. She's in heaven now. But my grandma would give us the weirdest gifts that we say, I don't know what to do with this. And I don't know if you have grandmoms who are like that. We would get all kinds of weird stuff that like it would sit for a while, and then when she would never realize that we've either got rid of it or something, because obviously she's getting old, so she couldn't remember. But the point is that we have those gifts that we just don't know what to do with, and that God is not like that, right? So yes, love did come crashing into that stable in Bethlehem, but Jesus' result, his birth was the result of a long history of love. And His love for us today, this Advent season that we're in, is not something new. See, Psalm 139 tells us about how God knew us intimately before we were born. And the Apostle wrote in Ephesians 1, which I think is the screen that's coming up here. Yes, it is. You can read along. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as the sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. This verse means a lot to me, and let me explain to you why. God chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew that you were going to be adopted into His family. If you've never gone through adoption, and I don't mean the sense that you were adopted, but being adopted or being the one that was doing the adopting, you might not completely fully understand that. So some of you have heard this story before, but I want to share it again. When I met Sherry, she had a daughter named Sherry, born the same day. That was confusing for a while. But she was 5 years old. And then we got married a couple years later, and she was, you know, obviously living with us full time, and Dad and Money really had no part in the relationship. And a couple years later, I went to Sherry and said, you know, I really want to adopt Sherry. Can this happen? So Sherry went to her ex, and after a few situations, he pretty much allowed me to adopt her. The great thing about that is that she didn't do anything. She didn't do anything to deserve for me to say, I want to adopt her. It wasn't anything like that. It was because I just loved her. I loved her with everything that I had. And I was able to adopt her. And I remember the first conversation when she got the papers that she actually became a Gracie. And she would call my dad and say, hey, Grandpa, guess what? Now I'm a Gracie. That's because of the love I had for her. And see, God's love doesn't depend on anything that we do. It's not dependent upon us, right? It's not something we have to earn. It's not something we have to perform for to maintain. My love for my daughter had nothing to do with anything. Nothing she had to earn. It wasn't there. I loved her from the moment, even when she was annoying, I loved her from the beginning. And we have to understand that love, it starts with God. And my love for my daughter was started with me. And it doesn't start with us. So we know that God is love. It's His nature. It's His character that it is. It's His love for us was there from the beginning of time and will continue throughout eternity. And he knew each and every one of you, and he knew that one day you were going to receive him, and you have now been adopted into his family. Not because of anything we did, but because of something he did. He chose to do it out of love. And it can be a mind-boggling concept to grasp. Because we look at our past, even our present, and how we're living our lives, and we're thinking, how can you love me? I'm filthy. I'm terrible. I'm cruel. I'm evil. I'm sinful. How can you love? How can you send your son to this God-forsaken earth, that this sin world that we live in? But as we pursue this journey of love, I want to encourage you with to simply accept that God's love for you exists. And it's beyond, we talked about last week, it's beyond the constraints of time and space and our limited understanding. Mind you, our limited understanding, because here's the thing, we have a hard time understanding that, and I'll explain a little bit more of that in a little bit. We have a hard time explaining how God can love us. But it's also a love that's worth focusing on. It's worth meditating on, knowing this day in and day out. And it's a time where we need to rejoice, not just during this season of Christmas, but throughout the year. Look, we've all heard, and we probably most of us can memorize and recite it, John 3:16, right? But the text says on it that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, our response, and here's the thing, this is the thing that God says, look, I love you no matter what. I'm going to love you, I want to adopt you, this is what it is. But, here's our response. Because our response to God's love will determine our destiny. See, God has made himself available to anyone, everyone who wants to be there, right? But here's the thing, we have been given the option of believing him or not. That's the option we have. We can choose, God, you ain't nothing, I don't need you in my life. Well, God, please, I need you in my life. We have that choice. And here's the thing, it's not a result of our choices. Because here's the thing, as a result of our choices, we will either, or I should say, it is a result of our choices, because either we'll live eternally with him in heaven, or we will perish and go on our way to hell. See, and here's the thing, God's desire is us to turn away from our sins and believe in him. Believe in him through his work, his son, Jesus Christ, in whose hands, through God has placed his hands, everything. So the meaning of Christmas is the celebration of his love, for God so loved, right? It's the beginning of that verse. And it's also a time for us to reflect on our relationship with God. It's a time for us to say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm thankful and I'm glad you love me. Because here's the thing. We just read $1 trillion on Christmas gifts, and we get worried about what we're going to buy for our siblings, our uncle, whatever it may be, whether it's our spouse or kids. It's so easy for us to get distracted by this busy time of nature of Christmas that we're living in. And then what happens is we forget the true meaning of Christmas. One of the things I did when the boys were growing up, and again, this is not a pat on the back, is that I wanted to keep this true meaning of Christmas. That every Christmas morning when the boys were younger, actually we did it until up until about 3 years ago, they couldn't come down and open any presents up. There was no way. So our boys' rooms were upstairs. They couldn't even come out of the rooms. They had to stay in the rooms. So when mom and dad would get up, mom would go ahead and start making the coffee and doing all the things like that. And I would actually go upstairs, and we would spend about 5 or 10 minutes, and we would just talk about Jesus. We would just talk about Jesus. Why the reason? I use different verses. Each year we do something different. I have them participate and ask some questions. But the point is, and then you can run downstairs with your presence. But I wanted to start them out knowing it was because of Jesus that we have all this. It's because of Jesus who saved us from hell. And that's just something that I've always done. That's the point we need to make sure. That through all this hustle and bustle when we buy things, remember the real reason that we even have this season. So we know that we see love from the start. Number two, the second thing about God's love is that love enough. God's love's enough. See, here's the thing. Let me ask you a question again. I'm going to put in a little different wording. Do you ever have a hard time loving God? Here's a prime example. Something happens bad in your life. God, why did you allow that to happen? And then you want to walk away from him. Because you can't love him. Because he allowed that to happen in your life. Here's another question. Do you ever have a hard time accepting his love for you? God, like I said earlier, I've done this terrible thing. How can you still love me? I don't deserve it. Here's the third question. Do you ever doubt that his love is enough to cover all the pain, all the hurt, all the selfishness and evil in our world? See, this is how God's love works. And this is why we have limited understanding of it. Do you know that if you've killed 30 people, you get to prison, maybe you go to prison, you get on death row, and you receive the Lord, guess what? You go to heaven. And we can't comprehend that with our thinking. Because how could God send someone who killed all these people, send him to heaven? No way! That's why we can't understand God's love. He's much bigger than we are. His love is much bigger. So not only ask a question about our world, but here's the thing. Is that, do you doubt his love is enough to cover the pain and the hurt in your own heart and in your own life? See, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would probably answer this question yes. And maybe more, maybe some more than others. And despite what we know in our heads and we believe in our hearts, there's a daily struggle to live in the reality of God's love for us. It's a daily struggle. It's so different from our own ability to love. It's way different. It may be so much different from the love or maybe lack of it that you've experienced in your own human relationships and life overall. Example, my dad loved us, but his love was different than what I know now. Because my dad's love was that if there was food on the table, if there was clothes on my back, and a roof over my head, that was his love. He never said, I love you all my time. So when I came to the Lord, I didn't understand true love. I thought God was going to do something for me because that's the love that I knew. It took over time, for years and time, to realize it's not that. God's already done something for you. You realize that if God does nothing else for you, him saving you is all the love you need. But we as followers, as we want more. We want more. We want this, we want that, we want this. And it's not about that. His love was enough just of what he did for us. But I want to give you some good news this morning. This is the best news that you're ever going to hear any day, any week, any month, any year. God loves you. He loves you the way you are. He doesn't want you to be act differently. He wants you to love you the way you are. Because what's going to happen is when you allow God's love into your life and into your heart, you're going to change. Not because you have to, it's because you want to. Because God's love is that strong for you. Again, it's not because of anything we've done or anything we have to do. And here's the thing, it's just not for today. It's like God says, well, I'm going to love you today, but I know you're tomorrow, man. I'm not going to love you tomorrow. Because this isn't how we do it. We might love someone someday, but they might disgust us the next day. God doesn't work that way. He loves us today, tomorrow, and every day. See, it's not like the father or the mother or the spouse or the ex-spouse or the friend or the enemy who let you down or may hurt you or abuse you mentally to inflict damage or to inflict some pain or heartache that can seem so hard to heal from and let go of. That's not the love that God's talking about. Because here's the thing, God loves you purely. He loves you perfectly and he loves you wholly. Those are the things that God loves. You don't have to earn points to gather up more from God. It doesn't work that way. He pours out love on us. No matter how unlovable or how unworthy we may feel. And here's the thing, which is mind-boggling. He just pours out his love continuously. All the time. So last week we talked about some of the Christmas characters that were in the first Christmas. Mary and Joseph, and we know that they, and we looked at them, most of people really didn't fit into this lovable people box. They were confused. Mary and Joseph, they were young, they were average, humbled, engaged couple. You had those, you had a band of smelly shepherds, probably didn't bath for a while, they were stinky. You had a bunch of foreign magi from the east. See, if you look at the Christmas pageant watch, you don't see that kind of portrayal. You see all the clean, everybody nice and all that, but that's not what the first Christmas is about. So if I was to ask you, where would you fit in on that night in Bethlehem? Where would you fit in on that first Christmas? See, let's fast forward. Where do you fit in today? Where would you find yourself in this season of this long, dark, and eventually cold winter nights that we're going to have? See, no matter where you are on the journey, no matter where it is, God's love is for you. It is more infinite and it's more perfect than you can ever fully and completely grasp this side of heaven. It's impossible to grasp it all. But it's so worth opening your heart and opening your mind and soul to receive and be drawn even deeper into. See, maybe this was a little prayer the Apostle Paul offered to the Ephesians. He wrote in Ephesians 3, it's not on the boards, not on the screen, but Ephesians 3, 17 and 19, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we're talking about you as followers of Christ, may have strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we see here that it says here that God's love is deep, it's wide, it's long, and it's high, and it doesn't change even if our feelings do. Even if we feel distant from God's love, He's there beside us. Right? Hebrews says, for God never leaves us nor He forsakes us. We're the ones that do that. And you think about the people of Israel on that day. Like I said, sometimes I like to go back and picture myself there. And I can imagine that they felt abandoned at times. And we already know that they questioned God. They did all these things in those days. But His love never failed. It never failed. It was there all along to carry and sustain them through uncertainty. Galatians 4 says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. That means God sent Jesus at the right time. God's love delivered its full peak in the birth of Jesus. God was made flesh. Love come down among us. And nothing you can say, nothing you can do can shake that love that He has for you. Nothing can tear us away from it. And it will never fail us. And as we wait for Jesus coming, this Advent season now, and His return to earth to complete His ultimate work, it never will change. Romans, and this will be the next one, but Paul gives us a description worth remembering. And I think about you should even memorize this if possible. When we struggle with doubt or we just simply need a hopeful reminder. And I read this verse last week, I'm going to read it again. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That says everything right there. There is nothing that's going to separate you from God, that God loves, not going to leave you. Use that verse, write on the index card, look it up, whatever you have to do, be reminded of this verse constantly when you feel struggle or you have some doubt. So number one, we saw love from the start. Number two, love enough. And the third thing about God's love is that love overflows. So here's the question. Does anyone have family coming over at Christmas time that are not from around here, whether it be parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, that you don't see them too often? How many of you actually have some people that are coming out of town or whatever? Okay. We know that when we get together for Christmas time, it can be a real great time of getting together and reminiscing and just being there, right? And it's a great time to be together, especially when we don't see people too often. But here's the real question. Will anyone be sick of their relatives or guests after day three of their visit? Or maybe after day one? Right? Because don't we sometimes get like that? We, like, alright, I'm ready. You can leave now. You can leave now. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us to love others, even the people who seem unlovable. Right? Sometimes it's easy. And sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world. Sometimes the unlovable are the people close to us. You see, think of it as people who we truly love most, but who also have the most power to drive us crazy. They can remind us of our weaknesses, or maybe even bring up our deepest pain. These are the people. So on a very practical level, this Advent journey is about God's love in us overflowing to others. Right? But in reality, that's not something we can do. We can't do it for long, especially in our own effort. It must come from a source of love. And it can. See, the Living Bible paraphrases Peter's description of that. It's 1 Peter 1:22, but this is the Living Bible version, just paraphrasing it. It says, now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all of your hearts. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That's for sure. But what it does is shifts our focus from trying hard to love others to experiencing that depth of God's love in a way that allows it to overflow in our life to people around us. See, there's no way that we can love others the way Jesus wants us to unless we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And because when we try to love others in our own strength, we will ultimately fail. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Told you we're going to get to 1 John. Told you we'll be near the end of it. So before I get to the last one, I want to talk about 1 John here a little bit. And what I can tell you about 1 John, it's going to sum up the connection between God's love and our love for others. So 1 John, chapter 4, starting at verse 7. I'm going to read through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, our payment, if you will, for our sins. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son not to be the Savior of the world, to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Verse 19 says, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So we just read these verses and it's clear as day, right? If you say you love God and you hate your brother, then you're a liar. Because how can you love a God who you can't see but not love your brother? And I'm not talking about just relatives. I'm talking about other Christians, other followers. See, this passage gives us a very clear explanation of the nature of God, right? There's no limit on how much God's love for us. No height, no depth, no width. God loves us in such a way that He gave His only sacrifice for our sins, right? That's what it does. This kind of, the kind of love that the Father has for all humanity is a giving. That kind of love. It's a giving kind of love. It gives us His precious treasure. He gives us His Son, Jesus Christ. His only begotten Son. And we need to meditate. We need to reflect and think on that this Christmas. Because it's a very costly kind of love. It's a very powerful love. A very rugged, painful love. but love nonetheless. And we could spend, and we will eventually when we get to the First John, where we can spend so much, because there's so much to unpack in this passage. But I just wanted to take us, I want to get three main points from this today, from this right here. And you've heard me say it over and over again. And there's a reason why I keep repetitiously saying this, because I think sometimes, and God laid upon my heart, sometimes there might be someone in this room who just cannot understand that God loves them for what they've done. So here's the thing. These are three things I want to take, what you take from this passage. God is love, and He sent His Son as a sacrifice for us. You need to know that. That this was Jesus. That was God's love from the start and His gift to each of us. It is a gift that God has given you. It's a gift that you don't have to. When we give gifts, we feel obligated to give back. Right? We've got to give Him a gift. You can't give God a gift like that. You want to give Him something? Give Him your life. That's all He asks us. The second point I want you to get from that is that we can know and rely on God's love. There's enough scripture we've gone over, we've talked about. There's way much more in here about God's love that we can know it and we can rely on it. Because God's love is enough for us today, tomorrow, for always. And the third point which you have is that we love because God first loved us. See, God's love overflows within and through us to others. See, God's love is truly the whole reason we celebrate the season. It's something that should last past Christmas. So I want to encourage you, I want you to dwell on it. I want you to hold through this throughout this Advent season. I want you to meditate on it. The verses that hopefully you've written down and what you see on here, if you read these scriptures that we discussed and over again, and you let their truth wash over you and through you so you can understand the true God's love. Again, we're not going to totally grasp it all, but the scriptures can help us enough to get us along. I also want to challenge you as well to walk in God's love as it penetrates and changes your heart. This journey of love is not simply about words or even feelings of acceptance. It's a journey of action and truth. The gift of God's Son that we celebrate was God putting love into action through Jesus. His love is an overwhelming love that calls and moves us to this similar action. 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 tells us, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Christmas can be an easy season to put this similar love into action. Because somehow we get this joy, some of us get this joy and this lovable attitude, and we love this kind of season, so it's easy for us to do it. But in many ways, it can also be the most difficult. So as you repair your hearts, repair our hearts expectantly and purposefully for our celebration of Christ's arrival, let us also put into practice His love flowing through us. See, will you allow His love to penetrate and to overflow your heart as you stand with the source of all this love this Christmas season? If you're like me and you like to give, then let's work on giving hope and love to those that we may consider unlovable. Here's one more step. Some of you may have some enemies in here. Some of you may have some people that rub you the wrong way, that you don't want to be around. God says, love them just as much as I loved you. And here is the thing. Here's the catcher. God's love, He loves us unconditionally. Think about that. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this, that in this season of Advent, You invite us to follow the star on this journey of love. Father, I pray that we will experience the depth of Your love, which we know has been there from the start. It's a love that's enough for all of us. And I pray that it overflows into others. Please, Father, continue to fill us with this expectation as we live in your love and wait for the complete fulfillment that you, that love that when Christ comes again. But Father, there may be someone in this room that doesn't even know you as their Savior. And they've been coming to church and they've been checking it out, but they really have never received you as their Savior. Father God, I pray today would be the day they say yes. I pray today, Father God, that they would come see myself or Pastor Darrell afterwards and we can share with them what it is to receive the love that you have for them. But Father, there may be others in this room, Lord, who are followers. Who have not been shown that love to others the way it needs to be shown. I know in my own life, Lord, I've done that and I've asked for forgiveness and work on that, Father God. So I pray, Lord God, as we're here, and if that is someone in this room, Lord, today would be the day. Lord, this message was given to me for me to give out, and that means there's someone in this room that needs that, to hear that message today. So I thank you, Father God, for the message. I pray, God, that it was clearly that they heard you and not me. And Father God, I pray that you would lift up this time and bless this time. And Father, if anyone's made some decisions today, Father God, I pray that they would let me know about them so I can continue to pray for them. Because we know that it is a daily struggle. It's a daily struggle to love others the way you loved us. So Father God, I pray that we would remember this day of love and we would share that with others. And I pray, Father God, for us to be able to give you all the glory through our changed lives. And we ask this in your name. Amen.